The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Today we celebrate a special feast day in the Episcopal Church called Trinity Sunday. We are not the only Christian denomination to celebrate Trinity Sunday. Roman Catholics, Lutheran, Methodist, and several others celebrate Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday always follows the week after Pentecost, when we heard the story last week about the giving of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to Jesus' disciples. Now, unlike other feast days in the church, we are not honoring an event in the church, but a concept and doctrine of the Christian church called, and we call it in the Christian church, the Trinity. Not many clergy want to preach on Trinity Sunday. In fact, Trinity Sunday is a good Sunday to invite a guest preacher to preach. But I couldn't get Ellen to do it. I couldn't get Jeffrey to do it. Marilyn didn't want, nobody wanted to do it. So, because it's, why does nobody really want to preach? Well, because it's a hard concept to understand sometimes. It's not an easy topic. Jesus never used the word Trinity when he referred to God, nor do we find it anywhere in our scriptures. The word Trinity developed early on in the Christian church to describe what the early Christians knew about God. Now, like our Jewish foundation, Christians believe in one God. Yet early Christians worshiped God the Father. They also knew that Jesus was God, and that Jesus and the Father sent the Holy Spirit, who is God, to be with Christians, believers. So the term Trinity was developed in the early church to describe this complex truth of God. One God, yet three distinct persons. Not persons like the human persons are, but three individual realities united in one essence. Simple, right? We could try to explain the Trinity by using fathers. You know, it's Father's Day, let's try that. A person who is a father is also a son and could possibly be a spouse. So they have three roles, probably very different roles in one person. But all attempts to explain the Trinity in human terms seem to fall short. For a father, they may have very different roles, but they are still one person and not in relationship. Now, they may talk to themselves, but that doesn't mean they're in a relationship. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are one, but distinct and are in relationship with each other. In the first book of the Bible, in the creation story, Genesis chapter 1, it doesn't just tell us that God created everything. It reveals Father, Son, and Holy Spirit actually working together from the beginning. Each played a distinct role. The Father as a sovereign creator, the Son as a divine word, and the Holy Spirit as a life-giving presence over the waters. Later in the creation story in chapter 1, God says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." So God created humankind in God's own image. While the term Trinity is not explicitly used in Genesis, the narrative suggests a plurality within the Godhead. So you see, it's hard to get our heads around this concept. It's truly a great mystery of God. We can try to explain the Trinity in function, like God the Father is the creator, God the Son the redeemer, God the Holy Spirit the sustainer, but as I just said, they were all there in creation, so we can't simply relegate the Trinity in their individuals to certain tasks. So now you might know why the clergy don't want to preach on Trinity Sunday. Books have been written on the nature of the Trinity, but in reality, we really don't have the words to describe Trinity. So I'm just going to leave the term Trinity as how Christians express the mysterious relationship between three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then it goes, okay, so now we're going to declare it a mystery. So why is understanding the Trinity so important for us? Well, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, the Trinity answers a foundational question about God. Why God should care for us and love us? Well, because our God is relational in the oneness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our God cares about creation, and more importantly, God cares about each one of us. We are made in God's image. Only human beings were created this way. Humans are created to be in a loving relationship with God, but also with other humans. We can almost hear Jesus' love and compassion for his disciples in our passage from John's Gospel today. Jesus says to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Jesus doesn't want to burden his disciples about his upcoming death on the cross, but he tells them that there will be a Spirit to guide them and will share whatever Jesus the Son has, because God the Father has shared with the Son, will also share with Jesus' disciples. Relationships are important to God because through relationships, we form community. We are created from community, and we are sustained by community. Now, the gospel reading that I think shows Trinity more than any other one comes out of Matthew's gospel. And it happens after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, where he meets his inner circle of disciples. And he says this to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Being a Christian, a follower of Christ, has responsibilities associated with it. Jesus commands his disciples to go and to make other disciples, a community of believers. Why? Because we are stronger in community. So what are we to do today? We know what the first disciples did through the Acts of the Apostles and the letters written to the early church. They went from town to town preaching and teaching the good news of eternal life with God, Jesus, and going and baptizing people to being new Christians in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Is that the same call that we have today? Jesus gave his disciples a mission of the church, and we call it the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching and baptizing. This is why the church was created, for making disciples and building up the body of Christ for the glory of God, but also for making a strong community, a community that believes in God and raises each other up in love and compassion. That's the ideal. The mission has not changed today. So the answer to my question, yes, we are still called to fulfill Jesus' command of the Great Commission. But how we go about living this command may look very different than it looked over 2,000 years ago. Now, I'm going to date myself. I'm just going to put it right out there for you. I remember growing up as a kid, coming out on Christmas morning, greeted by these four floodlights and a camera. You know, I have the, you know, we're no sound, okay, no sound, but you're coming out, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, you know how much I'm a morning person, you know. I wasn't even a morning person back then, even on Christmas morning, and blinking, these lights are blinding you. How many can relate to that? Okay, a few of you. Okay, all right. I told you, I'm telling on myself. Yeah, so that was 60-some years ago. So, but now, my birthday's next week. I'll tell you that later. But now, I can take this little thing, my smartphone. It takes pictures. It takes videos with sound. And I can send those pictures and videos to someone via a text or an email or posting it on social media that goes worldwide. Think about that the next time you post on social media. But in just 60 years, the world has become a very small place. I tell you this story to make a point. When we think about the Great Commission that Jesus commanded us to do, we may be envisioning going from door to door, standing on a street corner, telling people the gospel, or, you know, accosting people in a store or something like that. And that really doesn't really appeal to many of us. It doesn't appeal to me either. But following Jesus' command doesn't have to look like that. How easy would it be to invite a friend or a neighbor that doesn't have a church home to a potluck or a dinner that we host or vacation Bible school that's getting ready to happen this week or fitness classes downstairs or one of the many community engagement programs we have here at Christ the King? We live, if you don't know it, in a mission field, looking for community, looking for God's compassion and love. A study done last year by Gallup heightened that 30% of people in the United States reported having attended religious services at least once a week or almost every week. About 11% attend about once a month. Now I want you to hear this next statistic. 56% say they seldom or never attend a religious service. Our mission field is the 56% and engaging the 11% that are on the fringe. I've learned over the years of preaching that preaching the good news of love and compassion, one of my favorite places to do it is weddings and funerals. I know that sounds pretty morose, but sometimes the only time somebody steps into a church is during a wedding or a funeral. Those people need to hear the good news of God's love for them. It might be the only time they ever hear that. Christ the King has so much to offer our community. I've been so impressed at the love and commitment that many of you have for each other in this church. The bond that you share goes beyond normal friendship. It is a true testimony of how the body of Christ is different from the rest of the world. As we move forward as a congregation, we need to reflect on new ways that we can not only strengthen the body of Christ already here, but to also reach out into our community so that that do not experience the love of Christ in their lives. 56%, and if you add the 11% onto that, the mission field is out there. It might require us to think outside the box. Now, I know Episcopalians are not very good at that. That's also from my experience. But we can do it. I know we can do it. And the reason I know, because we put away our old flood cameras and floodlights. We're embracing smartphones and live stream. Or we can simply maybe just take a fresh look at how we're doing things in our church and fulfill Christ's command. This may take all of us working together to move forward, but I feel blessed to be part of that mission here at Christ the King. Remember, we don't do mission alone, do we? Jesus says he will be with us always. With the help of the Trinity, we can fulfill the command that Jesus gives us in the Great Commission to spread God's love and hope in our hurting world and to strengthen those who already know God's love but need some boost sometimes. The reason we talk about Trinity is because Trinity is community, and we are community. And God has said we need to build up this community in God's love for God and for each other. Amen.